Thank you for joining Paul Bartlett for Rethink It, the podcast that pushes the boundaries of thinking about leadership and life in a world that is thinking less about church.
Well, today on Rethink It, I have a very special guest, Jules Abell. Jules is an advocate for women and empowerment for women. She's also a really good friend of mine, not to mention she's married to the wonderful Joel Abell, who for over 20 years, both of them were leaders at Hillsong Church. Jules, great to have you today. Thanks for joining my Rethink It podcast.
Thank you, Paul. It's an honor to be with you.
Have you snuck a bit of a read in the book yet?
I have. I read the precursor to it being released, I think you sent me a copy before it was officially released.
Very few people got that.
I feel very honoured then.
Now, I want to start, Jules. I know that I've seen on Instagram you love dogs, and I recently saw that you got a brand new dog, Daisy. Tell us about that. What's this going on in you? Is this like a midlife crisis for you or something?
I'm pretty sure it is a midlife crisis, Paul, because the first week we got Daisy as an eight-week-old puppy, I wondered what on earth we had done. It took me back to the newborn days, which now when I think newborn, I want to be a newborn of my grandchildren, not a newborn of a puppy.
Right.
And I forgot how much work they were. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm not sure we were thinking straight, but we adore her.
Yeah, and she's quite a what sort of breed is she? Because she's looks very beautiful from what I can see.
Paul, you said it. She's a very beautiful girl, and she's a Labradoodle, and she's a full-size poodle, full-sized Labrador. And let me just say, she's going to be a big dog.
So, like, have you always been a dog person? Is this new for you? Did you guys have a dog before, or is this a new thing?
Yeah, we did, Paul. Our family had a dog called Charlie, which was a schmoodle, a Shih Tzu cross toy poodle. You got to say that quickly.
Yeah, so beg your pardon. Yeah.
And unfortunately, Charlie passed away this year. So in March, we were quite devastated by him passing away, because pretty much our kids didn't know life without Charlie. So it was a big loss for us.
It's a big loss. I've had that. We had the same thing. People who aren't dog owners don't know the pain of when your dog passes, how difficult that is, hey?
I pretty much cried for a whole week. Right. Don't talk to me for a whole week, because every time I talked, I just burst into tears. Yeah, it was horrible.
But Daisy has filled the hole in your life, I can tell.
You know what? She has been an absolute delight for us, and she's brought a real sense of healing and love to our family. She's a very, very affectionate girl, and we love her. We love her in our new space.
So, Jules, you're not only a dog mum, you are the mum to a couple of humans, certainly, of course, first and foremost, Harmony and Elijah. And then and now you have a son-in-law, Nat, who's an NRL rugby player. Talk to us about mothering for you, and what have you had to rethink, or what's been different as you've seen your own kids grow? What have you changed, or what surprised you even?
Yeah, well, first of all, our son's name is Eli, not Elijah. Yeah. Even though on Instagram he calls himself Elijah on his birthday.
Yeah, it's his fault.
Yep, he's just E-L-I.
So he added that himself.
Yeah, because someone else took Eli Abell. I'm not sure there is another Eli Abell, but they took that Instagram handle. Right. So he added Elijah Byron. He doesn't even have that middle name, but that was the other option for his first name. So go figure. But besides that, I think parenting has been a continual journey of rethinking. Rethinking what I thought was going to be ideal and idealistic, and embracing the realities of parenting, as you would know. And I think.
And how's it changed? Because it's different, isn't it, leading young adults?
You got to let go.
You got to let go. Yeah.
Yeah, that beautiful song, Let It Go. You got to let them go and let them become the people that they are trying to work out who they are. And I think, you know, as parents, we have these ideals of who we think our children are going to be, or who we would like our children to become. But just like us, we became who we felt like we were meant to become. And our job as parents is to release them, let them go, to discover who they are meant to become.
So, Jules, if I Google your name, and I don't do that often, by the way. I know, it gets a bit creepy. There's quite a few articles about you and your family. But, of course, Look, you spent 20 years or more leading at a significant level at Hillsong Church in Australia, but of course Hillsong is a global church. I've got to ask you, why did you leave Hillsong? I mean, who leaves the biggest church in the world? Come on.
You know what? I actually think the Church of Jesus Christ is a beautiful phenomena across the earth. And I understand the sentiments in people asking the question, why would you leave the biggest church or an influential church? But I think every church has the potential to be influential. And I think the bigger thing that Joel and I have always pursued is chasing after the doors that the Holy Spirit wants us to walk through. And I guess the short answer to why did we leave Hillsong was, you know, when your time has come to an end in a certain season, and you feel that edging that the Holy Spirit is leading you towards something new. And we've always subscribed to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. We felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to walk into a new unknown season, uncharted territory, unwalked paths. And even though it was really scary, we felt that it was time to follow where the Holy Spirit was leading.
Yeah, so you went from large to busy, to very involved, to not being in a large environment church-wise, not as busy, and certainly not as involved as you were for 20 years. I mean, Jules, that must have felt almost like a car crash, like a whiplash. Talk to us about that. How did you adjust? Was there grief? Was it, or you overjoyed? Describe to me that first few months.
Yeah, look, there definitely was that whiplash moment, and I would describe that as the sense of loss that we were feeling after pouring our lives into something that mattered so deeply to us, which is the church, for over 20 years in one organization with the same people, even though there was always additions to those people. And I would say the first 6 months we experienced quite deep grief, and I would find myself just dissolving into tears often as I would think about the people. To be honest, I didn't miss the programs. I didn't miss the big events. It wasn't, you know, the external stuff. It was the people. Like, you love people. And when you follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, you don't stop loving people. Like, I love those people today as much as I did back then when we were serving alongside of them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I sense the sense of grief is very real.
So talk to us about that. You didn't miss the big event or the big gathering. And we both know neither of us are anti those things. But I guess I've got to ask why. Why? Why was it that you were sick of it, you're fed up, or why was there not an ache for that big event in your life now?
Well, like you said, Paul, I definitely think that there is purpose for the large event, and I'm not anti anything. I'm into whatever God's into, and I'm into cheering on whatever God is breathing on. I think when it comes to the large events, to me and to Joel, they've always been a means to an end. And what I mean by that, it's all about connecting people to Jesus. So whether we did that on a large scale or a small scale, to me, it was all about individuals encountering the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. And we haven't stopped doing that. So we're not doing it on a large scale these days. We're actually doing it on a very different forum, really. We serve in Convoy of Hope, which is a global faith-based humanitarian organization. Yes. And we're serving the poor and the marginalized, the vulnerable. And it's just bringing Jesus into people's lives in a different way. And so to me, it's as purposeful as on a large scale, one-on-one.
So obviously we're talking about rethinking things. And one of the big thoughts that you and I have definitely had chatted about, and in fact, big and small leaders are saying this, is the idea where we're rethinking discipleship. And talk to us about that today. What have you rethought about maybe the way we disciple, and what's different in your perspective in how you see discipleship in this new season in your life?
Yeah, look, I think for a long period of time, even though we would have subscribed to the make disciples one-on-one, I think the church at large, especially in Western culture, saw our church services as the predominant way that we discipled people. which to me, it's only part of the gathering together, is just the meshing together of all the different personalities as we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ together. That's kind of the gathering together. And I think maybe we put too much emphasis on the gathering together and not enough on leading people to the watering hole where they would find Jesus for themselves, so that in the absence of our church services, which we've all been faced with because of the pandemic, their relationship with Jesus would not falter, but it would be, you know, it would be watertight, so to speak, because they had this personal engagement, this love affair with Jesus that was forged in fire, forged in relationships, just, but forged in the day-to-day hanging out with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, that's important. Jules, you're a lifelong leader and you know, we've known each other for a long time. How have you rethought leadership? I almost want to ask, what's the new Jules Abell? Just two years on from your change, how would you describe her and how is she different to the Jules Abell that led for 20 years in a large church?
Yeah, she's really different. It's actually 3 years now, Paul. Can you believe it?
Three. Wow, it's gone fast.
Yeah, it's gone fast. I was just talking to my mum about it the other day, and I think Julia Abell, she's still got the same personality. She loves people. You know, she wants to use her gifts and talents to serve the Lord. But Jules Abell these days is not so worried about what people think. She's really more concerned about what the Lord is doing and where the Lord is leading her. And she understands that people are going to misunderstand at times the decisions that she makes, but she's okay with that because at the end of the day, when she comes face to face with Jesus, she's not going to give account for how well did I explain my transitions to other people, but was I obedient to you, Jesus? And I would want my answer to be yes.
Well, you know, Jules, that sounds very powerful, actually. And I think that I would say this, that one of the things I wrote about, which is probably controversial, is my concern, and yours I know as well, about the way we think about power, and particularly the way we think about power and women. And, you know, I would say, Jules, you're a powerful woman, but sometimes in context of the way we think about power, that gets misinterpreted. So what do you think? I sometimes feel embarrassed. I sometimes want to apologize to women for the way in which church culture treats them or overlooks them or shoots past them. What do you think we've got to rethink about women and leadership and women and power?
First of all, Paul, I just want to say thank you for saying that. It's actually beautiful. I hear words like that come from my husband's mouth, but to hear it coming from a leader like you is also a beautiful thing to hear. So thank you. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to women and power, to be honest, it's simple for me. The Bible in 1 Corinthians 12 talks about that. The Lord or the Holy Spirit gives different gifts to whom he wills. And I think for too long, the church at large, I'm not talking about any particular church, I'm just talking about God's church.
Yeah, sure.
Has limited women's potential and the use of their gifts because of maybe cultural, like national cultural norms. Yeah. And I think we've actually got to go back to the Bible and the way Jesus interacted with women, the way Jesus released women, the way that Jesus allowed women to raise funds for him. You know, Jesus healed women. He sent them out as witnesses. I think Jesus gives us this perfect example of the way the church, which is his body, should be releasing women. And I don't think it's so much a discussion for me about power as it is about recognizing the gifts and the talents that the Lord has given different people, including women, and releasing them to soar to their utmost potential.
Yeah, it's very good. I mean, I think my attitude, as a male has been, my life is less by not having gifted women work in and around my life. I would think, and there's no doubt I sit in certain circumstances where there's a room full of men, I get very nervous because I think a room full of men make a different group of decisions than a room full of people with men and women in it. And to me, I don't think it's always the best decision when a group of men get together to decide something. And do you think it's changing?
I don't think it's changing fast enough, Paul. Right. I don't think that there's enough women in decision-making groups, decision-making rooms, where the outcome would have been more holistic if they were there. I think without a substantial amount of different gifted women within a room amongst different gifted men, we're never going to get as holistic an outcome or as a fruitful an outcome as if you had women in that decision-making room. And to be honest, I don't think it's happening fast enough. And I think we've got to fast track that in church circles, in the business circles. Currently, I'm studying international women's health and human rights. And I don't think this is just a church issue. I think it's a humanitarian issue. And I think the church should be leading the way in this. I think that we should be empowering women. I think the church should breed a culture of equality. I mean, God was very clear that he, in Genesis 1:27, that he created both males and females in his image. And I think that we together make up who God is and the diversity of who God is. And I think to have women in those decision-making circles is not just a good idea, it's imperative, especially if the church is going to lead the way in this.
What do you think, as men, we're doing wrong and we could do better as leaders?
Look, I think just listen more. I think, you know, I've had many conversations with men about the topic of empowering women. And what I find, I sit there listening to their thoughts on it. Whereas if I was of the opposite gender, I would actually be asking more questions and doing more listening than telling the women what equality and empowerment looks like. Or I've sat in circles and I'm not angry at this, but I've sat in circles, disappointed maybe a little bit, where men have just, they've told us what it should be. And I think just listen and we'll tell you. And we'll encourage you in the way that we would like to be treated. So, more listening, less talking and telling.
Sounds good, Jules. And it's a safe place. This is my podcast. We can say whatever we like, right? We don't have to be too careful. So that's good. You were holding back a little there, but I agree with you. I think there's a long way to go. I feel uncomfortable in environments where men are telling women they should be empowered. I think just, as you said, just give them platform, step aside, get out of the road. That's probably one of the things that we need to do. Where do you see this whole thing for women over the next 10 years? Do you see it? Do you have some positive thoughts? Do you think it is going to change in the next 10 years? How do we speed it up? As you said, it's going too slow.
Paul, I'm really hopeful. I'm hopeful for the sake of the next generation of men and women that are coming up under our age group. I am so hopeful that because they're living in a world where they don't necessarily see gender. They just want to be released into the gift and the talent. Now, I don't want to go into that topic because I see gender. I see male, I see females. But what I'm trying to say is they're in an environment where they just want to be released to be who God has called them to be. And so I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for people like you and others that are leading the way, that will make way for especially the church to look different in the future.
Yeah, I agree. And you're right, the church does need to lead it. Well, Jules, it's been great to talk today. But before we finish up, you know, we're both, you know, Wollongong people. And of course, you know, I'm still here. I don't know why you left. I don't know what you were thinking. It is God's favourite place, of course. What's one of your, we ran Youth Alive together back when we were youngish. What's some of your favourite memories or favourite spot here in the beautiful Illawarra, the Wollongong area?
Oh, it has to be the Wollongong Town Hall, Paul. I mean, that's where we gathered for Youth Alive.
Oh, Youth Alive,
You know, our head-banging, praise and worship days. I'm like, weren't they the days? No.
They were the days. Very, very strange.
Slice of paradise, and
yeah,
you know, I will always have fond memories.
Well, George, we just want to say thank you for your input today, being part of Rethink It. And I'm sure we're going to have more conversations in the future. But look, let's just agree that we are in a season of rethinking. I think your story is one of the great stories of rethinking how you lead, how you live. And thanks for having the courage to step out of what could have been easily just hang in there, be the rest of your life. But you know, God was drawing you into a different way to live and lead. So well done. Thanks for that. And we look forward to talking to you again sometime soon.
Yeah, God bless you, Paul, and all your endeavors with rethinking. I pray that anyone who's listening today will really rethink whatever they need to rethink in their life. So good on you, mate.